Chapter 11.
Ezra Naeth,
I whispered aloud, and I got a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. I couldn't explain it, but for some reason, it felt as if I wasn't supposed to say the word aloud. It felt like magic, something dark and twisted that wasn't meant for mortal ears, like some sort of incantation or curse. Maybe I was just reading into it and letting my mind wander to strange places, but something about the word on my tongue felt wrong.
They must have written it before they died,
Zan observed in a hushed voice.
How tragic.
It's more than just tragic. It's bizarre,
Karth murmured as she crossed her arms against her chest.
Why would they go through all of the trouble? I'm assuming the blood is theirs.
Does the word mean anything to any of you? I wondered, but my question was met with complete and utter silence.
No,
Huna finally spoke up after what seemed like an eternity.
But there's something about it that feels strange.
I sensed it too, I agreed with a wolf ear darken. I don't know how to explain it, though.
Ezra Naeth.
Viopa dissected the word phonetically under her breath, and the moment the word left her lips, she shivered.
Whatever the word means, it holds weight,
Utuni observed.
I agree with Huna. Whatever Ezra Naeth is, it can't be a good thing.
Mirali? I prompted the goddess as she remained frozen in place. Her arm remained out in front of her, and her sudden paralysis began to scare me. I'd never seen her look so frightened before, and I wasn't sure how to put her at ease when I was hardly comforted myself. Before I could repeat her name, Utuni stepped over to Mirali, carefully lowered her sister's arm back down, and affectionately wrapped her own arm around the Jaguar Arkan's shoulder. Mirali's lower lip trembled before she wrapped her arms around the snake goddess and pulled her into an embrace. I half expected Utuni to ridicule the Arkan for such a display, but she only comforted her instead and stroked her long dark hair.
I don't want to be here,
Mirali whispered.
None of us belong in this dungeon, and none of us were meant to see that word.
Mirali, we have to check this out, I urged her. I know you're scared.
Why aren't the rest of you?
She interjected loudly as she pulled away from Utuni.
I know I teased earlier, but I didn't know until we stepped foot in this place that something was amiss. We aren't meant to be down here, Master.
What makes you think we weren't intended to see it, Mirali? I pressed.
This dungeon has been hidden away for who knows how long,
she replied as her orange eyes flashed with frantic energy.
Clearly no one has stepped foot in this chamber for a millennium, if not longer. Whatever occurred down here was not meant for our eyes. The lack of light makes it clear enough. Please, Master, we need to leave. Can we return upstairs?
Mirali's full lower lip trembled, and I could see her tanned arms were covered in goose flesh. The Arkan was really shaken up by this message on the wall, even worse than the rest of us. I took a deep breath. We were in too deep to leave now, and while I knew something was wrong with the blood message, I had a feeling we needed to stick around the dungeon. Something about the hidden chamber warranted a closer inspection. Is that what you really want? I asked the Jaguar goddess. Are you sure you can't stay down here?
Yes.
She nodded, and then her face brightened up.
While you're exploring the dungeon, maybe I could search somewhere else. Unless you'd prefer I return to your mind, Master, I'd be more comfortable with either option. If you want her to go check out other places in the castle, I can accompany her.
Utuni spoke up in a soft voice.
I really don't mind tagging along.
I don't know if I want to leave you both alone up there, I sighed.
If you don't trust us.
I trust you, I insisted to the snake goddess. It isn't about trust. I just worry about more Athanids or other monsters coming into the castle, now that we know the intended enchantment doesn't work on the doors. I don't want to leave you upstairs in case there's another pack of creepy monsters.
I could also join them,
Fi said in a reluctant tone.
There's strength in numbers, And we could cover more ground if we split up and explore more rooms in the upper floors. Besides, if I'm fully being honest, I'm not too comfortable down here either. And if there's a way I could be more useful elsewhere, I'd like to take that option. Please?
Mira Lee begged me with slightly pouted lips.
Master, I'd really appreciate it.
My eyes flew to Sarah and Zan, and the pair of Arkans gave me similar expressions of uncertainty. I had mixed feelings about this plan myself, but I wasn't a sadist. If Mira Lee wanted to leave, I wouldn't force her to stay. And maybe she and the others could find something after all. Even if they didn't, I would rather the Arkans feel safe than be stuck here on edge. I needed all of the goddesses to remain alert, and mostly content. And besides, having them upstairs searching for something of use wasn't a bad plan. Having separate teams could only benefit us at this point. Okay, I decided. Otuni, Mirali, and Fi, head back up. Keep an eye out for monsters. And if you see anything even remotely strange, don't wait to tell me, and come right back. All right? Even if it's something like a Grady monster or a strange shadow that isn't a Shadal.
Deal.
Mira Lee relaxed her shoulders, and then she gave me an appreciative smile.
Thank you, Master. I sincerely appreciate your generosity.
Of course. I nodded at her. Just be safe, Mira Lee. I can't afford to lose you.
I promise I'll be safe.
She smiled again, and after she gave the bloody wall one last glance, she turned on her heels and walked away.
We'll stick together,
Utuni promised me as she followed after her sister. Please do, I insisted. I mean it. Look after each other, and call out to me if you need me.
Of course, Master.
The snake goddess nodded, and she gave me a small smile.
We'll be just fine. Good luck down here. I hope you're successful. See you soon, Griff.
Fi winked from across the room.
Master, do you want me to go with them?
Viopa wondered as the trio of Arkans made their way over to the tunnel.
Fi makes a good point about strength in numbers, so if you would prefer for me to follow them upstairs, I don't mind.
It's up to you, I shrugged. I think they can handle it, but if you'd prefer to follow them and add some more power to the group, I won't oppose it.
I was merely trying to please you,
the succubus Arkan admitted with a small but flirtatious smile as she twirled a strand of long silvery hair around her finger.
I know you worry about us, Master, and I want to help relieve you of that stress.
I think he has more than enough people to help him relax,
Sarah snarled as she crossed her arms against her chest.
But thanks for the offer, V. I'm sure Griff will let you know if he wants his blood sucked.
All right, ladies. Let's all try to get along,
Zan urged the Arkans as she moved between them.
Griff, do you want Viopa with them or here?
I'd prefer her to stay, I announced. And then I flashed Sarah a brief glance. But only if you all agree to stop fighting. We don't have room for it down here, and I'm out of patience. No more antagonizing one another, or I'll revisit the idea of recalling you back to my mind.
Fine,
Sarah huffed. But before she turned away from Viopa, I could see the ghost of a scowl on her face. My lover's jealousy had flared yet again, and I wanted to soothe her, but I couldn't handle another issue when we were surrounded by a sea of them. I would try to smooth things over with her in a bit, once everyone was looking for clues. For now, I turned my attention back to the skeletons and the ominous blood-covered wall. Azraneath, I repeated once more as I attempted to make sense of the word. What could it mean? Was the word from an early form of Mistral, or could it be a language from the southern continent? There were the clans Utun and Ve, and each spoke a different language. Could Azraneath mean something to them? I proceeded to ask Viopa, but the goddess shook her head.
It's not a word I recognize, she said. But I'm beginning to think maybe it might not actually be a word at all. It could have several meanings.
Perhaps its letters arranged differently,
Karth wondered as she crossed her arms against her chest.
Though I doubt a dying mortal would have the time or the mental capacity to create a puzzle or on his or her deathbed. Why would they have written anything to begin with?
Sarah asked as she reluctantly turned back to us.
This dungeon is so hidden away from the other parts of the castle, and it's not as if anyone would be able to see it, so what's the purpose of writing it on the wall? Surely they were writing it for the person beside them.
That's a good question, I said as I studied the blood message with a scrutinizing gaze. But it was important enough to be their final act before they died, so we need to honor that. They wanted someone to know what Azraneath is, and we need to get to the bottom of it. Once we find the information we came here for, of course. The moon entity is our top priority, but I don't want to ignore this.
If it isn't a normal word or a puzzle, could it be a name?
Keela suggested in her musical voice. The dainty Arkin held a skull in her hand and was admiring it with a strange expression. I would think the skeletal goddess would be uncomfortable amongst the bones, but she didn't seem to mind. In fact, she seemed downright giddy. A name? I clarified.
Now that she mentions it, I think she might be right.
Zan spoke up, and she approached the bloody wall with slow steps. Her heels clicked against the stone floor, and I admired the sway of her hips as she moved.
The way it sounds aloud, along with the conventions of the ending of it, makes me think it's a name something old. Perhaps the name of a monster or something?
Maybe we'll find out the answer for sure when we locate other information, I said in a hopeful voice. It could be a type of monster. Or maybe it's the name of whoever jailed these prisoners, or one of the Elder Arkans.
Perhaps,
Sarah replied, but she didn't seem so certain.
I'm going to head this way,
Huna proposed, and she indicated her head further down the dungeon.
I don't want to waste any more time staring at some dried-up blood. We need to get through here so we can move on with our mission.
I'll come with you,
Keela announced with a glimmer of excitement in her navy eyes. Then she dropped the skull on the ground and followed after the wolf-eared Arkin like a puppy. Keela was a strange one for sure, and I wanted to know more about her, but I had to admit she scared me a little bit.
Shall we investigate over here?
Sarah inclined her head in the opposite direction.
I think I see a smaller section of the dungeon that might be promising.
Okay, I agreed with the dark-haired Arkin, and then I called out to the others. If you find anything, speak up immediately. I don't know what we're looking for down here, but anything could be useful.
Got it,
Zan replied, and she flashed me a kind smile. I returned the gesture and turned back to Sarah. The dark-winged Arkin's elegantly arched eyebrows were raised high, and she held out her hand to me expectantly. I took it without question and let the goddess lead me to the area. Sure enough, there was a smaller room just off the central dungeon, and the space was lit just enough by the main dungeon area's torches that we could see. Not as many skeletons littered the floor here, but I noticed there were many contraptions placed around the room. One resembled a particularly gnarly-looking bear trap, and the weapon had a human torso lodged into it. I cringed at the sight. No doubt the owner of those bones had a terrible, painful death. Yikes, I gulped. I definitely did not expect to find something like that down here.
In a dungeon? Sarah scoffed. Griff, this isn't exactly an entertaining place to relax. It's a chamber meant for torture.
I know, I replied, and the tension in the air was thick enough that it would need the blade of my Rhine dagger to slice through it. Sarah was bothered, and I didn't know what to say to help soothe her mind, but I didn't want to stay silent. It was an unpleasant conundrum I needed to resolve quickly before it got worse, but I didn't know how to handle it. So we took a little while to ourselves, and each of us moved to separate areas of the chamber. I attempted to focus on the floor near a corner of the room piled high with bones, but my mind wandered so much it was hard to pay attention to anything but my thoughts. Luckily, the silence didn't last too long, and I suddenly found myself pinned against the wall by my wrists. Sarah's yellow eyes stared into mine hungrily, and my heart raced as the Arkan licked her lips. Adrenaline rushed through me, and I couldn't help but feel as if I were some kind of prey. Sarah, I began to say, but before I could finish my sentence, The Arkin pressed her mouth against mine feverishly. The urgency of her kiss took me completely off guard, but I could feel my heartbeat in my ears as I kissed her back. I wasn't sure what had brought on this sudden bout of desire, but the way the goddess held me gave me the sense that something more was beneath the surface. My answer came soon enough when Sarah finally came up for air.
"I know you love me just as much as my sisters,"
the Arkin whispered breathily as she released her hold on my wrists and ran her hands down my chest.
"But bearing your child makes me want to lay some sort of claim on you as well. Every time I look at you, I feel as if I'm burning from the inside out, and I want nothing more than to feel your body and your lips against mine. So please, Griff, kiss me and allow me to show you just how much I love you and how much I want you to be mine."
Who am I to turn down a request like that? I laughed lightly, and without hesitation or deliberation, I swept the goddess into my arms. Sarah wrapped her arms around my neck, and we shared a long, deep kiss. This one, much less intense than the one prior, but still incredibly enjoyable. The goddess's lips were soft against mine, and I admired the sweetness of her. Kissing the Arkin was one of my favorite activities, and for a good reason. I'd enjoyed that aggressive display earlier, but there was something to be said about slow, passionate kisses. As I ran my hand down the impressive curves of her perfect figure, Sarah moaned in my mouth, and she pressed herself against me tightly. Her high, soft breasts against my chest made my lower half stir, and I wanted nothing more than to take the Arkin right then and there. "You're so beautiful," I whispered in between kisses.
"Maker, Sarah, your maker has nothing to do with it,"
the dark-haired Arkin laughed lightly. We went back at it, and soon Sarah raised her hands up and raked her nails through my hair. The sensation against my scalp was amazing, and I let out a soft groan of delight. I kept one arm beneath her ass for support, but I used the other hand to reach up and gently cup her breast. The Arkin gasped lightly, and I began to tweak her nipple until it hardened to a stiff peak.
"Ah,"
she whispered, and she bit down on her lower lip as I gently squeezed her full breast. A shudder ran through the goddess, and when she leaned her head back, her midnight black hair spilled over her shoulders and down her back.
"Oh, Griff, don't stop."
I continued to play with her breasts, and once Sarah's breasts grew ragged, I carefully carried the Arkin over to the far wall of the room and propped her up against it, just as she had done to me. The goddess wrapped her legs around my hips for extra support, and once she was secure, we picked up where we'd left off. Sarah ran her nails down my back, and a tingle ran up my spine.
"Oh, fuck,"
I groaned as she increased the pressure against me, and I pressed my lips against her urgently. The beautiful Arkin knew just what I liked, and I wanted nothing more than to take her right then and there.
"Fuck me, Griff,"
Sarah begged in between kisses.
"Please, I want to feel you inside of me. I need you, right now."
"How much?" I teased her as I squeezed her ass. "Tell me just how much you want me."
"Please, Griff, don't torture me,"
the dark-winged Arkin moaned.
"You know how much I need you, and if it isn't evident enough by my voice, you can touch me between my legs and feel just how wet and ready for you I am."
I loved it when the dark-haired goddess was so direct, and the hungry way her yellow eyes studied me made my lower half stir with desire. She was right. I knew just how much she wanted me, and I wasn't one to let my women go unsatisfied. "Aren't you worried someone will see?" I asked her as I glanced over at the entrance to the chamber. The larger dungeon area was far enough away that we wouldn't likely be seen or heard, but then again, we were in the company of monster goddesses, not normal humans. The other Arkans would probably be able to hear us, and while the idea kind of turned me on, I wasn't so certain Sarah would be thrilled by the idea of an audience.
We can be quick,
Sarah urged me, and she bit down on her trembling lower lip.
And quiet. I just need to feel you inside me. Please?
I drawled as I pretended to consider the idea, and Sarah's yellow eyes stared into mine with urgency. I didn't want to keep her waiting for too long, so I ended the conversation with another kiss. I gently pushed the arc in a little harder against the wall, and once I was certain she wasn't going to fall, I reached down, unbuckled my belt, unzipped my trousers, and shifted them down my hips just enough to free my incredibly stiff member.
Wow,
Sarah whispered as she stared down at my throbbing cock.
It looks like you're just as ready for me, Master.
Of course I am, I growled playfully. It took a little bit of maneuvering on our part, but we managed to free Sarah's impressively curvy figure from her scant black bodysuit, and soon all she wore were her thigh-skimming black boots. Once she was completely bare, we reset our position. I admired the swells of her perfect body, and then I took my pulsing member in my hand and used it to guide myself to the Arkan's soaking entrance. I pressed the head of my shaft against her, and Sarah let out a soft moan of pleasure. I slid into her velvet tunnel with ease, and a shudder traveled through me as the muscles of her walls tightened around me. Kissing Sarah was divine, but the warmth of her pussy was even greater still, and my heart pounded in my ears as I pushed myself deeper within her.
Oh, Griff,
Sarah whispered, and as I began to rhythmically thrust in and out of her, her head hung back until it gently rested against the dungeon wall. The movement made her already elegant neck look that much more graceful, and I suddenly had the urge to kiss the tender skin of her porcelain throat. The dark-winged goddess moaned as I brought up my lips to her surprisingly warm skin, and the sound deepened when I gently bit down. The Arkan let out a soft gasp, and I took the opportunity to push myself as deeply as I could within her tight tunnel.
Sarah,
I groaned as her walls fluttered around my shaft.
Fuck me, Griff,
she begged.
Fuck me hard and fast, and pour your hot seed deep inside of me.
Yes, I hissed, and I started to fuck the Arkan with short, hard, and fast strokes. I pounded into the dark-haired goddess for several minutes, and sweat dripped into my eyes as Sarah mewled and clawed at my back. Her nails left pinpricks of pain in her wake, but this only heightened the ecstasy curling in my gut. Pleasure began to swell through me, and when a tingling sensation spread up my spine, I knew I was moments away from euphoria. Fuck, you feel so perfect, I groaned as quietly as possible, and I hastened my pace even more. The pounding in my ears grew louder, and soon all I could hear was it and the sound of mine and Sarah's bodies clapping together. As the dark-haired goddess raked her nails against my back once more, it took all of my effort to remain quiet, and I concentrated my efforts on plunging myself as deep into the Arkan as I could.
I'm gonna...
Sarah moaned, but she placed her hand over her mouth before her volume could escalate. The sight of the winged goddess trying so hard to conceal her mounting pleasure was what did me in, and as the muscles of her pussy clenched around me, my own orgasm struck through me like a burst of lightning. Our bodies convulsed together as if we were two halves of a whole, and my seed spilled into her womb with the force of a monsoon. I unleashed what felt like gallons of it within her until she was full to bursting, and the Arkan moaned with delight as she shuddered around me. We trembled together for several moments, and the goddess carted her hand through my hair as she planted kisses against my neck.
Had you not already given me the gift of a child before, we certainly would have created one from that union,
Sarah whispered through ragged breaths.
That was wonderful, my master.
You were amazing, I complimented her through my daze. Sometimes I forget just how lucky I am to have such a stunningly perfect goddess as my lover, but Sarah's sexy smile was an easy reminder. Our intimate moment was interrupted by the sound of crunching bones outside the room, and Sarah pulled away from our kiss to look at the doorway.
Right,
the dark-winged goddess sighed.
For a moment, I almost forgot where we were.
Unfortunately, we still have a mission to do, I said as my heart continued to race in my chest. Otherwise, I'd take you again and again until we couldn't go any longer.
I'd love that,
Sarah pouted her slightly swollen lips.
But I can't complain too much. I wasn't expecting you to go that far, especially with my sisters in the next room. I just... never mind. It isn't important.
What? I prompted her when she fell silent. What were you going to say, my love?
I just needed you to make me feel special,
she admitted.
It's hard having to share you with so many other women.
I know, I said, and I cupped her cheek in my hand. I promise you, Sarah, I love you dearly, more than I could ever express.
It's okay,
she assured me, and then she leaned in to kiss me again.
I'll learn to share. I know you promised me before that you would love me most of all. And in turn, I promised I'd be okay with sharing you. This time, I swear I'll get better at it and work harder at getting along with my sisters.
Thank you. I smiled and swept a strand of dark hair behind her ear. I love you, Sarah.
I love you too.
The beautiful Arkan smiled back.
Now we should probably get back on track. These skeletons aren't exactly setting the mood, are they?
not particularly, I laughed. Though I'm sure Keela would be thrilled by it.
She's a little eccentric,
Sarah agreed with me.
Not to say it's a bad thing. Her gift is valuable, and her surrender to you gave you a lot of bonus points when it comes to my favor. And don't you dare repeat this. But I'm even starting to come around to Huna, as much as it pains me to admit it.
We were lucky to have her today, I said. I know we probably could have handled the spiders outside, but she made it so much easier to get rid of them. And so did you. The portal really came in handy.
Her taming ability is quite impressive,
Sarah acknowledged.
I'm glad she chose to cooperate with the group rather than work against us. It's refreshing after all the trouble we went through with Karth.
Definitely, I agreed with her, and then I carefully lowered the Arkan back to the ground. Now, let's have a look at the rest of this room. I think it's safe to say we didn't make a lot of progress when it came to searching for clues.
It was worth it.
Sarah flashed me a pretty smile. Yeah, it was, I chuckled. The Arkan leaned forward, planted one last kiss on my lips, and then we broke apart to dress ourselves again. Once my pants and belt were refastened around my hips, I began to move around the smaller chamber. As much as I wanted to continue replaying my brief but wonderful moment with Sarah, I forced myself to refocus, and then I used my Vinghund enhanced vision to scan the ground. Much to my dismay, all I could see were fragments of bone and errant clods of dirt and other scum. Beyond the pile of remains, the dungeon was filthy, and I remembered the Arkan's earlier observations. This place was ancient, and I wondered how long it had been since the prisoners had been left down here to die. Even though they had already been sprung or contained skeletons and other bones, I took care to avoid the bear traps and other contraptions around the room. Some of the heftier ones gave me the creeps, and I couldn't imagine getting stuck in one of them. Whoever had brought these prisoners down here was not fucking around, and I could only imagine how evil they must have been to distribute such punishment. After a while, I began to give up hope on the room, and Sarah seemed to come to the same conclusion.
I don't think there's anything of note here,
the dark-winged Arkan spoke up as she nudged a long bone with her foot.
Sorry, I thought maybe it would have something since it was so tucked away.
It was a good idea, I assured her. Besides, we had some fun in here. We can go rejoin the others and see if they've tracked anything down out there.
Good idea,
the dark-haired Arkan agreed. After we gave the perimeter one last look, Sarah took my hand once more, and together we headed back into the main chamber of the dungeon. Huna, Keela, Viopa, Karth, and Zan were spread out around the vast space, and each goddess wore an intense look of focus as we approached. If they'd heard Sarah and I in the other room, they didn't acknowledge it, and I was glad for their discretion. Anything worth mentioning? I wondered.
Not yet.
Zan shook her head, and then she immediately turned back around. The flame-winged Arkin hovered in the air as she examined part of the stone wall, and I didn't want to interrupt her, so I decided to make the rounds and see how the others were faring. I let go of Sarah's hand, gave her a wink, and then crossed over to Huna. Hey, I greeted the copper-haired Arkin. The warrior goddess was bent down over a monster's skeleton, and her rainbow tail flicked back and forth as she examined the remains.
Hello,
she greeted me after she set an intact jawbone on the ground.
Find anything in the other chamber?
Nothing particularly notable, minus some shackles and some other torture devices. I shook my head. What about you? Any luck here?
No.
Huna sighed as she wiped a bead of sweat from her forehead with the back of her hand.
I thought maybe I had, but it turned out to be nothing but a spare bit of bone.
Oh. My shoulders slumped. I was hoping...
Me too,
she finished for me.
For such a mysterious place, there's certainly little to go off. I'd like to think there's more down here, but beyond the bones and torture devices, I don't know what else there would be.
I know, I replied, and then I squatted beside her to take a look at the monster's skeleton. Just like the others, this particular monster's remains had a similar yellow shade to them, and the sight of the large beast tied up like that sent a shiver down my spine.
This is all so cruel,
Huna noted as her ears flattened against her head.
I can't imagine binding a monster this way. I don't like it.
I don't either, I said. I know that not all monsters are cute and cuddly, but tying them up this way isn't all right with me either.
Strange to hear that from a mortal summoner,
Huna remarked.
Though I suppose my taming ability makes me no better. Both of us use magic to bind monsters to our wills and then utilize them in battle.
I try to make my monsters feel more like equals rather than my servants, I said. It isn't always easy, especially with some of the more feral ones. But generally my relationships with my monsters are close. I trust them, and I try to make sure that they trust me too.
That's how I am with my wolves as well.
Huna smiled.
My pack are more than just monsters. They're friends.
Her sterling gray eyes lingered on mine for a moment, and then she turned her attention back to her examination. But a strange amount of tension hung in the air. While I wasn't sure it was my best move, I decided to change the subject and take the opportunity to ask the warrior goddess the question I'd thought of before. So if you don't mind me asking, why didn't you let Zan heal your burn? I inquired as I studied the mark on her face. It looks like it really hurts.
It doesn't.
She lied, but her cheeks reddened as they did when she'd asked Zan to leave it.
I was hoping you hadn't heard.
I wasn't trying to eavesdrop it. It's just that you were both right there. I explained quickly, but Huna looked embarrassed anyway.
I understand,
the copper-haired goddess replied, and then she let out a softened sigh.
Honestly, I'm not sure I have such a great answer. I'm still kind of figuring it out myself.
If you don't want to tell me, it...
No, it's fine,
she interjected, and then she straightened up.
Today was the first battle I fought that wasn't against my sisters or against the Guardians. I didn't realize it until I sheathed my sword, but something about it feels strange. I'm quite old, Griff, and I fought a good number of fights both with and without my Mist Wolves. There was something different about fighting against those Athanids. I know they weren't as large of a threat as the Moon Entity, but it still felt significant to be fighting for something important, something that had nothing to do with my own ego.
You liked fighting with us rather than against us, I clarified. And when Huna scrunched her nose, I amended my statement. Or am I off?
I liked fighting with you,
she whispered, and her translucent ears flickered nervously atop her head.
It meant a lot to see you look at me with so much awe. It made me feel important, more than I've ever felt before, and I want a reminder of that moment, as strange as it sounds. As long as the scar doesn't make me look ugly, at least.
Honestly, it's kind of hot, I chuckled lightly. You're insanely beautiful, but The scar adds a touch of badassery.
Then I'll keep it.
Huna smiled, and the sight was lovely. I couldn't believe how much the warrior goddess had warmed up to me, and it was nice to see a pleasant expression on her delicate face, rather than a bored or angry one. There was a softer side to the wolf-eared Arkan, and with time, I hoped she would show more of that to me. Thanks for opening up to me, I said. And thank you for all you did today. We're all really grateful to have you on our side.
Thanks, Griff,
the goddess replied. We shared a moment of silence, but it wasn't awkward at all. It was strange to think that the Arkan had once been my sworn enemy when she was acting so kind toward me. I wasn't sure what had made the wolf-eared goddess change her attitude, but I couldn't complain about having a new ally.
Griff!
Zan suddenly called out in an excited voice.
Griff, I found something!
Really? I asked. And then I stood up, brushed the dust from my hands onto my trousers, and rushed over to where the flame-winged Arkan stood. Zan had moved away from the place near the stone wall, and the goddess's smile was wider than I'd seen in a while when I joined her side.
Look!
She gestured behind her and stepped aside so I could get a glimpse of whatever she'd found. And when I did, my heart raced with excitement. There, on the stone wall, was a light outline that resembled an entryway similar in shape to the one we'd stepped through to enter the dungeon. It was so faint, I doubted I could have seen it without Vinghund vision, but it was unmistakable. That's a door, isn't it? I asked her excitedly, and a sense of relief swelled inside of me.
I think so,
Zan confirmed, and then she pointed at a section in the far left center of the outline.
Look closer. I think that's where a key is meant to go.
I narrowed my eyes, and sure enough, there was a smaller outline that resembled a keyhole. Zan, you're amazing, I complimented the Arkan, and her cheeks flushed. This is exactly the type of thing we've been looking for. I wonder where it leads to.
It has to be somewhere important,
the umber-skinned Arkan replied as her full lips curled into a smile.
It's hidden so well that it has to contain at least something of value.
So, it sounds like we need to locate a key of some sort, I concluded. Good. This gives us more direction than we had before.
Hopefully they thought to leave a key around here somewhere,
Zan mused, and her eyebrows creased together slightly.
I'm praying the owner of the castle didn't keep the key with them.
Let's not even think about that, I insisted. This is a great start, and I don't want to let fear stop us from solving this whole thing.
You're right,
she agreed.
We have to remain hopeful.
I turned to face the other Arkans who had gathered behind the flame-winged goddess and me. We need to find a key, I announced. There seems to be some kind of locked chamber back here, and it may have exactly what we're looking for.
What sort of key?
Karth wondered.
Can you tell the size or the shape we need?
Can't say, I admitted to the green-skinned goddess. I honestly have no idea what it would look like. What material, anything. So we just need to keep an eye out for anything we can find.
Fair enough,
Karth agreed. Everyone spread out and keep your eyes peeled for a key, I instructed the group. It could be just about anywhere, so focus on every square inch of the dungeon, no matter how gross or dirty. We split up once more, and I decided to start with the skeletons beneath the blood message. It seemed unlikely that the key would be even remotely close to the pair, but without knowing anything about who they were and their relationship to their jailer, I couldn't rule it out. To my disgust, the only things around the shackled bodies were bones, desiccated insects, and smears of old dried blood. I gently moved the skeletons to see if a key had been placed beneath or within them, but the effort wasn't successful. When I couldn't find anything, I decided it would be a better idea to search the floor, as much as the idea of digging through more old bones and leftover remains after already rummaging through piles of acidic goo earlier made my stomach turn. We couldn't leave any inch of the dungeon untouched, so I reached through the bonds with my summons and borrowed the bullet bass armor once more. Only this time, I manipulated the coating to cover only my knees. The stone floor, along with the shards of bone, were both incredibly hard, and I didn't need to bring my body any more pain than necessary.
That was a smart touch,
Viopa noted with an arched eyebrow.
Good thinking, master.
Thanks. I smiled at the succubus goddess, and then I raised my chin in her direction. Have you found anything?
Not yet,
she shook her head.
But I can assist you over here.
Yarkin raised her incredibly pale hand in the air and concentrated. A light tingle arced through the air as her magic flared out slightly. And suddenly, a pale, silvery material began to appear over her skin, almost like the bullet bass coating on my knees. But hers had a crystalline sparkle to it. The coating covered her hands like a pair of gloves. The succubus was able to shapeshift, and no matter how many times I witnessed her magic in action, I was still impressed by it. That was pretty, I noted.
I took inspiration from your monster, Viopa admitted, though I added my own flair for vanity's sake.
Nothing wrong with that, I smiled, as long as it helps.
Let's get searching, the Arkan suggested,
and together, Viopa and I plunged our hands into the piles of bones and hardened remains and began to dig. We examined every last bone, fragment, and remains that dusted the floor, but our efforts weren't successful. There was no key in sight, and nothing out of the ordinary amongst the bones.
This is useless,
Viopa sighed as she finally wiped her hands on her dress.
Whoever owned the key must have kept it on their person. As much as I don't want to suggest it.
That's what I was afraid of, I sighed.
We can continue to search this dungeon, but I think we may need to consider alternatives.
The succubus Arkin proposed as she rose to her feet.
Do you know how to pick locks?
I do, but I don't think it's an ordinary lock, I replied. I can make an attempt, but with this place being so hidden, I doubt it would open like a normal door.
This sucks.
Viopa crossed her arms against her chest, and despite the circumstances, a laugh rose up in my chest.
That was very... that was very human of you to say, I chuckled. I don't think I've ever heard you say something like that before. I've spent too much time listening to your mortal women, Viopa sighed. Soon I'm going to be speaking just like them.
The silver-haired Arkan glanced over at me, and I felt more laughter rise up in my chest. I wasn't sure if it was exhaustion or the idea of Viopa's vernacular becoming more like Leia's, but I couldn't contain the feeling for very long. The succubus Arkan didn't seem sure about what I was laughing about, but soon she joined in anyway. Despite being in such an awful place, it was nice being able to share a laugh with the goddess.
What's so funny?
Karth smirked as she walked over to join us.
Nothing, I replied, but a smile lingered on my face.
When I looked past the horned Arkan, I spied something along the far wall I'd missed before, and stepped over to it with no hesitation. Bones crunched beneath my feet, but I didn't care. This was too important to be distracted by anything else. It was another skeleton shackled to the dungeon, but this one's restraints were tied around its neck rather than its paws or wrists. The bones belonged to a monster of some sort, but I couldn't identify what it was exactly. Canine? Feline? Whatever it was. It had long fangs that resembled Dio's, and I couldn't help but cringe at the comparison. I didn't like the idea of a monster resembling my familiar locked away in a place as dismal as this, so I forced myself to think of other possibilities. Perhaps the monster had been a guard of sorts, meant to keep the prisoners at bay. No matter the reason for it being here, the skeleton had more than just a chain on its neck. I bent down to examine it further, and my heart raced as I spied something hooked onto the collar like a charm. I carefully leaned forward and unfastened it from the chain.
Griff, is that?
Zan began to ask.
Yeah.
I nodded as I held it aloft for the goddesses to see.
I think it's the key.
Be careful,
Sarah warned me.
You don't know if something is on that, like an enchantment or poison.
Thanks, but I think it's fine, I assessed. If it was going to harm me, I think it would have done so already. I examined the key in my hand. It was delicate, almost like it could break at any moment. But the metal contained tiny filigreed details I probably wouldn't have noticed without enhanced vision.
I admired the craftsmanship for a moment more, and then crossed back over to the stone wall. I could feel the eyes of the Arkans on me as I went to insert the key, and I took a breath to steady my hands before I carefully pushed the piece of metal into the keyhole. It slid in perfectly, and when I turned the key, I heard a clicking sound. "Oh, fuck," I muttered. It worked. Suddenly, the stone door began to move, and I took a step back as it swung toward me. This was it, the moment we'd been waiting for. I wasn't sure what we were going to find behind the door, but I hoped with all of my might it was more than just another useless chamber. The seconds passed like hours, but when the door finally stopped moving, I was greeted by an amazing sight. "Holy shit!" I breathed.